Hello, and welcome to Walking with the Tengu, a podcast exploring classic texts for the modern martial artist. This is, in some sense, a record of my own martial training, with all the usual bumps and bruises along the way. I hope you'll come along with me for the journey and not judge me too hard for my mistakes. I've long said that the only thing worse than a sewing circle of gossiping old ladies is a bunch of martial artists. Doesn't matter what art I've trained or in what country, spend some time with martial artists and you'll eventually hear them gossiping. And to be fair, I'm guilty of this myself. It could be about someone else in the school, another student who tends to cause more injuries than others, or the school across town that engages in shady practices. Either way, talking about ourselves and others seems to be inevitable. It wasn't any different at the start of the Tokugawa period in the early 1700s, where we find Daidoji Yuzon, the author of the Budo Shoshinshu, giving advice to young samurai about gossip. Yuzon starts off by saying that one should not talk about the mistakes and wrongdoings of one's companions. The reason for this is because we are all guilty of the same things. Yuzon says that you should be self-aware enough to realize that you are not a saint or a sage. Put another way, by Marcus Aurelius, who said, "Be tolerant with others and strict with yourself." A core principle of Stoicism is that you cannot control circumstances or other people. You can only control yourself. Similarly, it is problematic to judge what other people do solely from our limited set of knowledge. Even if someone's actions cause you trouble, it doesn't make sense to assume the worst of others. We don't ultimately know everything that makes up their lives and what goes into their decision process. Instead of focusing on other people's faults, the only truly useful course of action is to turn a mirror on our own faults and to reflect on how we can change them for the better. Our exercise of patience, understanding, and cooperation are also a kind of martial training. Focus on fixing your own problems and be patient with others. Marcus Aurelius likely was no stranger to the sparring ring himself, as he wrote in another place, "In the ring, our opponents can gouge us with their nails or butt us with their heads and leave a bruise. But we don't denounce them for it or get upset with them or regard them from then on as violent types. We just keep an eye on them after that. Not out of hatred or suspicion, just keeping a friendly distance. We need to do that in other areas. We need to excuse what our sparring partners do and just keep our distance, without suspicion or hatred." Daidoji Yuzon continues by making the point that we might expect people above us, for him, the elders and retainers of his lord, to be of good character and wisdom. For us, this might be our instructors or senior students, such that when they do make mistakes, it is reasonable to be critical of them. He says this is not actually the case in the long run. His reasoning for this is that no one person is complete. We all, especially those in leadership roles, have unfulfilled potential. Not that they're necessarily going to fulfill that potential, but that each of us are not yet a finished product. I'd argue that we are only finished in death. We can always choose, no matter how poorly we've done up until now, to be better today. Yuzon's focus, when something unreasonable is heard, is to pursue the matter with propriety and respect, that it is far better and more effective to pursue someone else's mistake with patience and an eye toward harmony. He says that every person has a certain measure of capability and that each and every single one of us are subject to misunderstandings, misconceptions, and carelessness. We all make mistakes. Yuzon states that when you gossip or slander someone who serves your lord, you are in effect slandering your lord himself. For us, this would be like when we talk bad about a training partner. We're effectively talking about the weaknesses of our own school, instructor, and the training environment that each and every one of us has a hand in creating in the place where we train. None of these things remain secrets. Words flow like water to the lowest places, and like arrows, they cannot be returned to the bow once shot. Thus, when we ourselves make a mistake, and trust me, each and every one of us has many mistakes in our future still, we would be well served to be known for our patience and humility rather than our pride and slander. Let's take a moment and be clear what we're talking about. When I say gossip and slander, I'm talking about the things we say about others behind their backs, sometimes even the things we say to each other's faces, often in frustration or anger. This is not an appeal to let poor behavior slide, or to allow malpractice to continue. It's an appeal to addressing such things with a personal sense of humility, patience, and honor. So why do people gossip? As a general rule, I've observed both in myself and others that it is to make ourselves feel better. Essentially, it's an act of pride. If we and everyone else talks about how bad someone is at their practice, the implication is that the rest of us in the group, including the listeners, are better than that. It creates a sense that we are all better students than that person over there is less of a person. It's fundamentally dehumanizing. Now, we might say that it's important that everyone knows about the person who is dangerous to train with, or that it is not who is not particularly good at teaching, and I would agree. What matters is how we go about talking about it. If it's in whispers, without any attempts at helping the individual in question, then it's at best a crude fix. If you build a training environment where it's safe, so to speak, to make mistakes and receive correction, then it will be a training norm to treat each other with humility and respect, which in the end will only make all of you better training partners. When gossip and slander are allowed in a school, however, it's like a kind of poison, infecting people, spreading disdain and contempt, and ultimately weakening the school and fostering distrust. After all, if this is what is said to your face, what are the others saying about you behind your back? People inevitably coalesce into cliques, and an us-versus-them attitude mars the daily training. I've seen this happen on two levels. The first is vertically, between senior and junior students. Often it's the senior students who act with an air of superiority, gossiping about the newcomers and beginners behind their backs, though everyone still knows it's going on, and trust me, the newcomers know too. It creates distrust between some of the most important pillars of the training community who are supposed to be modeling the proper techniques and training methods. Why trust someone to teach you safely and accurately when they slander you behind your back? The other is horizontally, where cliques, tribes, or gangs are formed between students. Rivalry between the groups can literally tear a school apart. I've seen a school rife with the sickness literally split down the middle, resulting in what can best be described as a polite turf war. Childhood friendships were crushed, bitterness and resentment have remained a part of this particular martial arts local community for years now. So, what can we do? Imagine, if you will, someone you strongly disagree with. It's probably easiest to think of someone who is your enemy, politically or religiously. There's your first mistake. Do not think of them as your enemy. It's entirely probable that if you had been born into their own shoes and circumstances, you could very logically have made many of the same choices they had. In fact, you probably already have. It's just the equivalent logical actions from your side of the fence. Instead, when someone makes a mistake, think about a time when you made the same or similar error. Remember how you were treated, what helped, what hindered, and what could have helped you learn from that mistake better. And then go do that. None of these things will fix systemic problems in a training environment, but you can be the first in your school to transmit to others something positive rather than perpetuate through gossip and slander the very things that are weakening your community. Daidoji Yuzan wasn't kidding when he said that gossip and slander are inexcusable. Though we live in a very different time from him, with different value systems and worldviews, the functional impact of gossip and slander on our communities is no different. I suspect that this is a timeless lesson for all human interaction across all spheres of influence. Families, tribes, nations, politics, religion, and the martial arts could all do with a little more patience and respect. This principle can be found in numerous places across history. In the Tao Te Ching, probably the best known work of Taoism, we have a quote, "Who can wait in stillness while the mud settles?" Which might be explained a little by this story from the Buddhist tradition. The Buddha and his disciples decided to go on a journey in which they would have to travel very far. One day, they saw a lake far off in the distance. They decided to stop there since they were thirsty. When they had arrived, the Buddha said to his youngest and most impatient disciple, "I'm thirsty. Can you bring me some water from that lake?" This disciple went to the lake. But when he arrived, he noticed that a wagon of oxen was crossing it. Little by little, the water became cloudy. After this happened, the disciple thought, "I can't give the teacher this muddy water to drink." So he went back and told Buddha, "The water is very muddy. I don't think we can drink it." After about half an hour, Buddha asked the disciple to go back to the lake and bring him some water to drink. However, the water was still dirty. Once he returned, he said to Buddha, "We can't drink that water. We should walk to the town to get something to drink." Buddha didn't answer him. However, he didn't make any movement either. He just stayed there. After a while, Buddha asked the disciple once again to go back to the lake and bring him water. As he didn't want to challenge his master, he went to the lake. However, he was furious because he didn't understand why he would be asked to go back again. Clearly, since the water was muddy, they couldn't drink it. When he arrived, he noticed that the water was now crystal clear. He collected some and brought it to the Buddha. He looked at the water and said to the disciple, "What have you done to clean the water?" The disciple didn't understand the question. It was pretty obvious he had not done anything. The Buddha looked at him and explained, "You waited and let it be. Therefore, the mud settled on its own, and now the water is clear. Your mind is like that too. When it is muddy, you have to just let it be. Give it some time. Be patient. It will reach a balance all on its own. You don't have to make any effort to calm it down. Everything will pass on its own as long as you don't hold on to it." That trouble among students or misunderstanding that generated ill feelings, that's the muddy water. You may want to do something about it right now, but more often than not, the right answer is to wait a little bit to let the water settle. In Zen Buddhism, there's a story that goes, "Once upon a time, there was an old farmer who had worked his crops for many years. One day, his horse ran away. Upon hearing the news, his neighbors came to visit. 'Such bad luck,' they said sympathetically. 'Maybe,' the farmer replied. The next morning, the horse returned, bringing with it three other wild horses. 'How wonderful,' the neighbors exclaimed. 'Maybe,' replied the old man. The following day, his son tried to ride one of the untamed horses, was thrown, and broke his leg. The neighbors again came to offer their sympathy on his misfortune. 'Maybe,' answered the farmer. The day after, military officials came to the village to draft young men into the army. Seeing that the son's leg was broken, they passed him by. The neighbors congratulated the farmer on how well things had turned out. 'Maybe,' said the farmer. The farmer in this story is practicing what is called non-judgment in Zen. You can't just judge anything that happens solely on its momentary impact on you. There are certainly divisions between discrete events, but everything is in some sense interdependent, and thus what seems good today can seem bad tomorrow, and that can seem good again the next day. Finally, from Christianity, we see in the book of Matthew, "For with the same judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but fail to notice the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' while there is still a plank in your own eye?" As Daidoji Yuzan and many others across history have observed, we are better off focusing on solving our own faults than the faults of others. The next time you train, remember to be strict with yourself, but patient with others. And just as it was in the days of the Tokugawa samurai, so it is today that gossip and slander are inexcusable. That's all for today. Please help the podcast out by sharing and telling people about it. The best way you can help us is just by letting people know that it's out there and what it's got you thinking about. Thank you for listening, and talk to you again soon.